Time to bring in the good professor of politics, Jim Jost. Good morning, Jim. This week, we're going to focus on some of the goings-on in the Liberal Party, are we not?
Oh, good morning, Mark. Yeah, we'll look a little bit at the plebiscite that was held at the Liberal Party convention. The big ticket item was to give the rank and file more power over choosing or pre-selecting candidates for to be elected to the parliament.
This would have a lot of grassroots support from members, you would think.
Oh yes, and in many respects, it's quite a good move. Democratising the party to some extent and shifting the power up to a point, and one would hope further than up to a point, away from the machine, from the machine politics, from the party machine. The Liberal Party has made a lot of mileage out of characterising its opposition, in particular the Labor Party, you know, as being a machine party, and you know it browbeats its members and it dictates to the members who should be elected and who shouldn't, you know, who should stand for Parliament. And the Liberal Party has managed to sort of avoid a lot of that type of criticism, but more and more, and I think Tony Abbott came out and has been campaigning for this for about 4 years, basically wanted to sort of break the power of the factions. This is the public statement, if you like, the public view that Mr. Abbott is projecting. This is not necessarily going to overcome the machine politics of the Liberal Party, but it will go some way towards giving ordinary members of the party a chance to ensure that the member for their electorate is in fact going to be someone who's of that electorate and who has some support in the electorate. I go back historically many, many years ago, back in the 1920s, there was a work published, in fact earlier than that, by a German sociologist called Robert Michels. And he looked at what was then the most leading left-wing party in the world, the German Social Democratic Party, which was basically a Marxist party. And he explored what happened when it moved more and more into the political arena as it grew and gained in support, and it was the largest party in Germany at one point there for a while. It transformed itself from being a largely democratically organised party to one which was very hierarchical and very oligarchical, which basically meant the people at the top of the party called the shots and the rank and file simply did as they were instructed. And his argument was that you give me any political party and I will show you organisation and oligarchy, that over time parties tend to go in this direction. So what has happened with the Liberal Party convention is a small pushback from rank and file to let the machine or the bosses of the machine understand that they need to take into account and they need to consult and need to ensure that people in the local electorates have a voice in how the party operates. Now, all this is well and good, Mark. Sorry, I just cut you off then. But all this is well and good, but one of the criticisms that's been voiced is that this is merely a blind, if you like, to enable the factions to operate in a different way and to stack the branches using the democratic process. So, and that's a real fear in opening it up in the way that they have, that it might lead to branch stacking. So that's something that the rank and file of the party, the local sub-branches of the party, will need to be very wary about. But all in all, I think you'd have to say that empowering the rank and file, the ordinary members of the party, to have a stronger voice is a far more healthy thing than having the party run as a bureaucracy.
Mm. Potential smokescreen there aside, we kind of saw this on a more grandiose scale with the Labor Party federally after the Rudd-Gillard-Rudd thing, and then they decided to have the members have more of a say in the leader. Now the Liberals are doing this at a grassroots level. Do you think this has more of an impact, a positive impact, for people that don't traditionally vote for these parties? Like if you don't vote, say, for the Liberal Party now, do you think the fact that you can look at them potentially and say, wow, it's not just the machine electing who is representative, You think that's a vote winner?
I think at a fairly small level, perhaps at a more local level, so that it might persuade somebody in a particular electorate that, you know, the person who's standing on behalf of the Liberal Party is much more supported within the electorate, and therefore maybe I need to give my support as well at the polling booth. So I think that there is an element of that. However, I tend to lean towards the sort of Robert Michel's view of political parties, that over time, those who are active in the party find ways and means of ensuring that they can mobilise support to suit their own interests. And I think that given that Tony Abbott has not been a major proponent of democratic practices, historically speaking, within the party, it's interesting to have a look and think about, well, what's really going on here as he comes out and a whole range of conservative people within the Liberal Party coming out being activists for grassroots democracy, something that conservatives have never been particularly famous for in the past. So it's an interesting twist, a good twist at the moment, but it remains to be seen whether the machine will strike back, as it were.
Interesting times ahead, or as J.R. Ewing once said, where there's a way, there's always a will.
Yes, and his will was the one that prevailed.
It was. Thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you next week. An exciting twist in the world of politics. 2NURFM 103.7.